presentation from Drew Kitts.
Good afternoon. Thank you for the time. This presentation is going to be very brief. It's for the benefit of the council, but also for the fishermen who are in the room. So I apologize that I'm turning my back, but this is an announcement of a fishing vessel cost survey. And with me is Mike Morin. Some of you may know him. He did some work for the council related to herring. He is now in the Northeast Regional Office Permit Office, and he's going to be coordinating the survey for us. Next slide. Just a quick overview here of what I'm going to talk to you about today. First, just a little background about how we're going to administer the survey and who's doing it, what types of things are on the survey, and just as importantly, what things are not on the survey, why we need this type of economic information, how we plan to use the data, a quick word about data confidentiality, and then just I want to provide you with some contact information. Next slide. So if you want to follow along, it's in tab number one, item number three is this presentation. And I'm also passing around some flyers, and there's some out on the table if you want to pick any up as the day goes on. And I hope you'll be hearing a lot more about this survey. We really want to make an effort to get the word out. So you might be seeing articles in Commercial Fishers News and other places. The plan is for this survey to be mailed directly to vessel owners. This will be in conjunction with the annual permit renewal process, and that'll start in January and the early part of 2007. And the idea is that survey will accompany that renewal package, and the survey can be returned back to the Northeast Regional Permit Office with that permit renewal form. So it should be a convenient way of getting that information back. It's only a three-page survey, so it shouldn't take up a lot of extra room in the envelope. It's a completely voluntary survey, and really important point I want to make is that it will not affect the permit renewal process in any way whatsoever. We're targeting vessels that are recently active, and we just use a very broad criteria for that is just having some landings in 2005. And these will just be federally permitted vessels of any commercial permit. Any party charter vessels we're not targeting with this survey. And maybe down the road we might be looking at those, but there might be some other ways that we get at party charter vessels. So for this initial survey, it's just going to be commercial vessels. It'll probably be about 2,000, maybe 2,000 to 3,000 vessels initially in 2007 that we'll send this survey to. The idea is to get a census of these active vessels the first year, and then in subsequent years, we're going to back up from that and have a sampling scheme. And the idea being we'll just, hit those segments of the industry that maybe the data that we have is starting to get a little bit aged, and we need some more updated information. Next slide. So what is on the survey? I may have mentioned the word fixed cost before. Those are just costs that don't change directly with the duration or the number of trips taken. And the examples are things like insurance costs, mooring and docking, repair and maintenance costs, things along those lines. Next slide. And so what is not on the survey is trip costs, and those are things that do vary with the number of trips, and those are things like fuel and oil and ice and other fishing supplies. The reason that we're separating out these two is currently trip costs questions are asked by observers while they're at sea. And currently we do have some fixed cost questions that the observers do ask, but that hasn't been working out as well as we've liked. Some of the reasons being that the captain may not be the owner of the vessel and just doesn't know that type of information, whereas they're more likely to know things like fuel costs. The records may be kept on land and not with the boat. And the hope is if we get good response from this fixed cost survey that's going directly to the vessel owners, that we can phase that out of the observer program. The two will run concurrently for at least the first year till we can better gauge that, but we hope to remove them from the observer program. The other thing is that revenue information is not going to be collected on the survey. So why do we need this information to begin with? Primarily, it's to help, and I should have said that in the beginning that I'm an economist in the social science branch in Woods Hole at the center. It's primarily to help us to understand the economic aspects of various fisheries and help with some of the research needs that we have. And a large part of that is helping us to evaluate the impacts of the proposed fishing regulations, the alternatives that come before the council. And then ultimately, if that information gets into the FMPs and amendments, then managers can consider these economic impacts when choosing a management alternative. And there are a number of laws that require us to look at those things, cost-benefit analyses and things like that. So we need this kind of information to do that. Primarily, the data will be used for some background description in the impacted human environment section. You know, what's the economic and financial condition of various fleet segments? Help us develop bioeconomic models for use in the research that we do and some of the impact analyses. The other thing is it gets used for estimating regional economic impacts. For example, if you look at the port of Gloucester and we have an idea of what's being spent on these different things, how does that impact this part of the economy, this regional economy? A little bit about data confidentiality. Data will only be made available to the vessel owner if they request it and anyone specifically authorized to analyze it. It'll be the same type of protection that we have for landings data and things along that lines. Any published data will just be summarized to protect any individual vessel information. And the other important thing I think to keep in mind is in combination with the trip cost that we get through the observer program, we're not going to know the individual profit of any given vessel. For one, most observer trips are on a subset of the total trips taken. But to doubly ensure that we wouldn't know the profit of a vessel, the fixed cost survey is going to be divided into four parts, and we're just going to ask that vessel owners respond to three of those parts. And then we'll sort of alternate the part that's unanswered amongst different vessel types. And ultimately what we do with that is, we statistically estimate, we're certainly interested in vessel profitability, but we'll estimate that for a group of vessels, a certain gear type of a certain size. So it's just important to recognize that, we won't know any individual vessel profit. And then lastly, just want to let you, the main purpose for being here is just to, let you know this is going on, to introduce Mike Morin, who's in the regional office, and what his telephone number is and email address in case there are any questions that come up about this. The permit office staff will also be trained to handle any questions that come in about the survey, and then beyond that, I'm available for any types of questions. Is there anybody that has any questions now, from the council or from the fishermen?
Any questions for Drew? Dave?
Yeah, Drew, on your who won, you have federal permit holders, any commercial fishery, no party charter boats. A lot of party charter boats hold commercial licenses. I was in the database this morning looking for days to lease, and I know I identified 10 boats within 20 miles of me that I don't believe that have ever landed a pound of fish, but they have a limited access permit. They're party boats.
Well, yeah, so we would pick up that vessel if you have a commercial and a recreational. You'll be included because you own the commercial permit. But then on top of that, we try and filter out the inactive vessels. If through the dealer reporting, if there is no landings from that vessel, then that would kick that vessel out of the survey.
Anyone else on the council? to the audience. Yes, sir. Come up to the microphone.
Hi. I'd like you to be made aware of the fact that some of us have multiple boats. We own multiple boats, and we have tied up one boat and leased all the days over to the other. And there's quite a few of us in the industry that are doing that. So now they wouldn't be considered anything because they didn't fish.
Trying to respond to that question here. The survey will actually come with a whole number pre-coded on the survey. So if, say, the example, if you own two vessels and one's inactive, the survey will come with that whole number on it of the vessel that we're interested in, and it asks you to report the cost just associated with that one particular vessel. So the vessel will be identified on the survey.
The vessel that is docked, he leased his days over. He's going to have costs anyways. You say that it isn't going to count just because he leased his day. I mean, you got to pay to insure the boat at the dock.
Right. Well, in the survey, that one vessel may not be selected. It doesn't necessarily mean that it doesn't count. It's just that that vessel won't enter into the survey. And those kinds of things will be, you know, we're trying to get a more broad view of what the different types of costs are for different segments of the industry.
Anyone else in the audience have any questions or comments? Harriet, is that your hand?
Yes.
Okay, please come up.
In looking at the paper, you're talking about you're going to do economic impact studies. Is that what I understand, social impact studies?
This is economic. There are no sociocultural questions on the survey.
So these questions, as I see them quickly, they would be more questions that are impacting the owner. I mean, if a person chose to fill this out, what I see here, you know, because you say example, costs and change directly with the number of trips taken, and you go to fuel ice, that's the questions you're asking.
Right.
I mean, as I see this, it's, I don't see what information you'd be getting for social or economic impacts on certainly the men. I was down in Woods Hole a few years ago, and you had something on dragging, and then it was being looked over by some, I don't know, people from universities, and it also was brought up at the council. I remember Barbara Stevenson was here, and that's when you decided that a captain could get $20,000 and whatever was left could go to the rest of the people in the dragon. I, of course, that didn't sit well, and it doesn't go out of my memory. And when I went down to Woods Hole, it was only presented in a worse way, I thought, my opinion. I really, just for comment, I don't really see what this would really do. Personally, I mean, I'm trying to be.
Right. I think, you know, as far as getting at a particular impact of a certain regulation, the survey isn't targeted at doing that. It's getting us the background information. So, for example, I'll use the example of a trip cost, which is coming on the Observer program. But the example in Herring, you know, if a TAC in an area is closed sooner and that forces vessels to fish further from shore, they're going to have increased fuel costs. So what we try and do here is, you know, we associate the vessel characteristics that we already know from the permit system, the responses to these surveys about cost, and we use that to estimate for a given gear type and vessel size, you know, what an extra 5 hours of steaming time might mean to that vessel as far as fuel costs go. So, I mean, you shouldn't think of this survey as, you know, getting at any impact of any specific regulation. It's just going into the model.
I'm just wondering what it would really do with what all you've got here. What you're telling me now is you are going to couple it with other information you have to try to come to some kind of result information. Is that what I'm to understand?
Sure.
Okay. Right. Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay. I'm going to move on to scallops.
All right. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Drew. And I think